So, this authority problem, sort of in the course community especially, only because I don't really know any other spiritual community, has taken the form of my brother is my projection. I made him up. There is no brother, etc., etc. We've all heard it. Some of you have said it, and let me tell you straight off the bat that I am speaking to what I have learned. It is not a correction to anybody who chooses to use these ideas, because quite frankly, I really don't care. So, if I made up my brothers, okay. If I'm sorry. If I made up my brothers, if I created my brothers, then my brothers cannot be my equals. Because if I created all of you, then I am your God. So what the Course asks us is to accept our authorship as being of God, and also our brothers as being of God. In the Course, Jesus refers to us as sons of God. The very fact that Jesus gave us the Course means we are sons of God. And he who is beyond the dream refers to us as his brothers. That means we are real. That means we exist. And that means he didn't make us up. And it means he accepted our authorship as being of God. To say there are no brothers, you don't exist, is literally an attempt to kill God's son. And coincidentally, Dove just posted that thing on the board. If you say that you made me up and you created me, then you think you are my God. And I assure you, I promise you that I am real as a soul. I am real. I am a son of God. And I was made by God, not by you. I accept you as my brothers. I accept you as sons of God. I don't accept you as my creations. I accept you as God's creations. This is this wonderful spiritual concept of of taking the idea of oneness and applying it conceptually onto the world. There are no brothers. Oh boy. It's very common, very popular, and it sounds so wonderful. But I promise you, I am real. My body is not real, but it is not my body that is communicating with you. It is my soul relating to your soul as we are as sons of God. And I'll say it again, I promise you, you did not create me. I am as real as you are as soul. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. That was awesome. And Teddy and Monica. Who are you asked to join with if you made up your brother? If you believe that your brother is just a projection of your mind, then who are you asked to join with? Of course, seeing your brother as someone else is. To see your brother as separate from you is. To think that your brother is a body is. All just projection. But to realize that you and your brother are one, and that you did not make your brother, and your brother did not make you. Now, you can say, oh, well, I know that. I know that Teddy didn't make me. I know that Tom didn't make me. But do you know that when you think of your parents? When you think of your parents, do you say, they are my brother, they did not create me? When you think of your children, do you see them as your brothers that you did not create? That's really key. That's really key. Remember when I had so many difficulties with my mother, and I had been given some incredible guidance from the Holy Spirit to fire her as my mother and to tell her I was doing it. And of course, this is only as guided. And I went to her and trusted the Holy Spirit to give me the words, and it was an amazing conversation. And I told her the why. I said, Mom, do you know that as long as I see you in that way, I project responsibility for my well-being onto you. I have expectations that are completely unrealistic of you. I hold on to these conditions and these memories of when you didn't meet those expectations, and I hold them against you. And I forget that who you really are. And I think that you have a responsibility that I don't have over my own thought, over my own being. I had to tell her that. I had to tell her. And even for a while, I couldn't call her mom. I couldn't call her mother. I couldn't do that. And she's actually going to be listening to this talk because she's listened to my talks now. You know, and I have to tell you that I was able to, by firing her as my mother, take her back as my brother, take her back as my friend, take her back as my sister, take her back in a way that I never would have been able to get close to her and really accept responsibility for my own thinking, for my own judgments, for my own projections, for making her a scapegoat, for making her responsible, for thinking that she created me. I did all that. I did all that. We have an amazing relationship today, and it's constantly improving. It's the holiest relationship we have ever had with each other in the 39 years that I have known her in this embodiment. It's amazing, because it doesn't have all those causes and conditions all based on the misunderstanding of what authority really is. All based on fear instead, and projection of guilt and shame and blame and all of that stuff that we use our parents for, to be the scapegoat, to be responsible for how we feel, for who we think we are and who we think we need to be okay. Our parents get more of it than anybody or anything. The government gets even less than our parents get. And we are given these relationships, this teacher, my mother being the strongest, one of the strongest of all the teachers that were appointed for me to know, for both of our healing, for both of us to wake up. I mean, it's been an amazing journey. Amazing, amazing journey with her. But yeah, to let go of that is just huge. There's two sections for the authority problem, and I'm going to read the next section and listen for what you want to comment on. And again, raise your hand when I'm done. I will turn the mic over to you. But it is in the next section, which is section 7, creating versus the self-image. And for those of you reading along in the FIP version, it's on page 49. Every system of thought must have a starting point. It begins with either a making or a creating, a difference we have already discussed. Their resemblance lies in their power as foundations. Their difference lies in what rests upon them. Both are cornerstones for systems of belief by which one lives. It is a mistake to believe that a thought system based on lies is weak. Nothing made by a child of God is without power. It is essential to realize this, because otherwise you will be unable to escape from the prison you have made. You cannot resolve the authority problem by depreciating the power of your mind. To do so is to deceive yourself, and this will hurt you because you really understand the strength of the mind. You also realize that you cannot weaken it any more than you can weaken God. The quote-unquote devil is a frightening concept because he seems to be extremely powerful and extremely active. He is perceived as a force in combat with God, battling him for his possessions, for possessions of his creations. The devil deceives by lies and builds kingdoms in which everything is in direct opposition to God. Yet he attracts men rather than repels them, and they are willing to quote-unquote sell him their souls in return for gifts of no real worth. This makes absolutely no sense. We have discussed the fall or separation before, but its meaning must be clearly understood. The separation is a system of thought, real enough in time, though not in eternity. All beliefs are real to the believer. The fruit of only one tree was forbidden, quote-unquote, in the symbolic garden. But God could not have forbidden it, or it could not have been eaten. If God knows his children, and I assure you that he does, would he have put them in a position where their own destruction was possible? Yet the forbidden tree was named the tree of knowledge. Yet God created knowledge and gave it freely to his creations. The symbolism here has been given many interpretations, but you may be sure that any interpretation that sees either God or his creations as capable of destroying their own purpose is in error. Eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge is a symbolic expression for usurping the ability for self-creating. This is the only sense in which God and his creations are not co-creators. The belief that they are is implicit in the self-concept, or the tendency of the self to make an image of itself. Images are perceived, not known. Knowledge cannot deceive, but perception can. You can perceive yourself as self-creating, but you cannot do more than believe it. You cannot make it true. You can perceive yourself as self-creating, but you cannot do more than believe it. You cannot make it true. And as I said before, when you finally perceive correctly, you can only be glad that you cannot. Until then, however, the belief that you can is the foundation stone in your thought system, and all your defenses are used to attack ideas that might bring it to the light. You still believe you are an image of your own making. Your mind is split with the Holy Spirit on this point, and there is no resolution while you believe the one thing that is literally inconceivable. That is why you cannot create and are filled with fear about what you make. The mind can make the belief in separation very real and very fearful, and this belief is the quote-unquote devil. It is powerful, active, destructive, and clearly in opposition to God, because it literally denies his fatherhood. Look at your life and see what the devil has made. But realize that this making will surely dissolve in the light of truth, because its foundation is a lie. Your creation by God is the only foundation that cannot be shaken, because the light is in it. Your starting point is truth, and must return to your beginning. Much has been seen since then, but nothing has really happened. Yourself is still in peace, even though your mind is in conflict. You have not yet gone back far enough, and that is why you became so fearful. As you approach the beginning, you feel the fear of the destruction of your thought system upon you as if it were the fear of death. But there is no death, but there is a belief in death. The branch that bears no fruit will be cut off and will wither away. But be glad. The light will shine from the true foundation of life, and your own thought system will stand corrected. It cannot stand otherwise. You who fear salvation are choosing death. Life and death, light and darkness, knowledge and perception are irreconcilable. To believe that they can be reconciled is to believe that God and His Son cannot. Only the oneness of knowledge is free of conflict. Your kingdom is not of this world because it was given you from beyond this world. Only in this world is the idea of an authority problem meaningful. The world is not left by death, but by truth. And truth can be known by all those for whom the kingdom was created and for whom it waits. The truth will set you free. Isn't that gorgeous? I mean, it all comes down to if you believe that you created yourself. That's where all the fear comes from. That's where all the guilt comes from. That's where all the shame comes from. It all comes from that belief that you made yourself, that you created yourself, and that you're alone, that you need to protect that self. You need to change that self. You need to make it into a better self. And isn't that what this world is about from the perspective of that separate self? I need to change the world. I need to change you. I need to change me. Because nothing is ever good enough from the perspective of the separate self. Tom?
Now, the simplest way to recognize whether the authority problem is actually being healed in our minds is simply to look at whether we experience defensiveness. If I am defensive, it means that I think I must defend myself. It means I can be attacked, and it means I do not know that I am God's son, or I am not identifying with God's son. Now, Jesus was the perfect demonstration of defenselessness. When he was up on the cross, all this stuff was happening, when all that stuff started unfolding, he didn't run away. He didn't say, "Oh, screw you bastards, I'm not gonna let you crucify me." He didn't cry and say, "I don't deserve this, why are you doing this to me?" He let it happen because he knew he was incorruptible. So defensiveness is an effect of the authority problem. When someone tells you you're full of crap, and if that bothers you, well, then that probably means you're full of crap. And if it doesn't bother you, then a comment such as that will fly over your head and perhaps give you a chuckle or two. So that is how, that is sort of the number one way of recognizing the authority problem and whenever it has crept into our minds. And as Teddy said, that everyone ultimately must heal this authority problem in their mind through an experience, not through some fancy concept in the course or any other kind of spiritual path. It is an experience, and it is the experience of communication with God, in which God says to you, not says in words, where God communicates with you directly and assures you that you are His son, and that all your brothers in this world are beyond the world and are your brothers, equals as sons. So with that, I'll drop the mic. Thank you.
What you were sharing about, Tom, really coincides with, for me, the whole "you spot it, you got it." thinking that you need to correct your brother. And that has been a topic that has been brought up in ACIM Gather a lot. The thinking you need to correct your brother and what that really means to correct your brother. Jesus says in the Course in Miracles that you really cannot correct your brother. You really cannot. In fact, you're really incapable of judging, because in order to even see what it is that you see as bad or wrong or needing to be fixed, you really have to have that belief in your own mind to start off with. So there'll be this thought about yourself, and you'll believe it, and then you'll find it intolerable, and then you project it. You hurl it away from yourself, and then you look for someone else to see it in instead. And then you try to fix it in your brother, where you projected it in the first place. Knowing all the while that it bothers you and you feel a lack of peace, but you don't know why. And to really accept that you are the author of that which you see, is really helpful to bring it back to where it came from, the cause. However, once it gets to a place where it is healed within the mind, as a teacher of God, there are brothers that will come to you to heal that same thought in their mind. And they will come to you not necessarily consciously, so though sometimes they'll be aware that there's something about whatever it is that you say or your experience that you've healed it that you can help them to remember. But even sometimes it's just a feeling, an attraction that they don't even know. And they will come to you and they will have that same belief about themselves, that same dream about themselves, and they'll want it to heal. And in that case, you can recognize that your brother is going through something that you went through, believing something you once thought about yourself. But because now, where once you used to have a great deal of pain around that thought, anger, resentment, fear, frustration, judgment, now you have peace. Now you have love. And all that is left is that you see your brother not at peace. And so while you stand in the truth, you can see that what you spot in your brother is there before you for a reason, for you to strengthen the truth within your own mind and share with your brother and help your brother to awaken. But even that is done through you by the Holy Spirit. And so that's really key, that just because you see it in a brother doesn't necessarily mean that your mind is still there. But how you feel about it, and whether or not you are deciding for yourself on what you should do about it, and how you have judged the situation for yourself as your brother's wrong or your brother's crazy or whatever it is like that, and whatever charge it gives you, whatever charge comes with it from within your mind, that is key as to whether or not what you see is really just a projection of your own mind that you have not looked at, or whether it is a chance, because you have looked at it and brought it to the Holy Spirit and healed it, that you're able to come to your brother from the perspective of truth as the miracle worker and to help your brother remember the truth instead of the dream. That is why Jesus tells us not to enter into our brother's dark dream, but to really, really stay in the authority position, knowing that whatever we see is what we believe. If I choose to focus in on what my brother is deceiving himself with, it is because I myself have that same self-deception. But if I choose to see the light instead, the truth instead, and come from that, because I have healed that within my mind, I will not be reacting to my brother. I will be coming from love. I will be seeing it as a call for love, rather than, what are they doing to me? Or what are they taking from me? Or I need to fix them, or anything like that. So it's really key. The whole you spot it, you got it can be a double-edged sword. Because we could say, oh, well, you spot it, you got it. If I see my brother suffering, I must be. No. If you see your brother suffering and you are as well, if you think that you need to change your brother, watch out. to try to correct a brother is to go the long way around back to accepting responsibility for your own thoughts. And to realize true authorship is to really understand cause and effect. To say that, in a sense, we mimic creating by making something up. We get to practice in a field of illusions, doing nothing but seeming to do something. Mimicking the creative powers, but using them to make instead. And by having our minds healed, we return back to our creative nature, our true awareness of our relationship with our Father. And in that, we extend, and that's how we create. We extend only that which is true and that which is love. There's a part in the Course in Miracles where it's chapter 14 and it says, Teaching for Truth. And it says that God is the only cause. It's on page 276 if anybody wants to look at it. You know, there is nothing to forgive. No one can hurt the Son of God. His guilt is wholly without cause. Being without cause cannot exist. God is the only cause, and guilt is not of him. Teach no one he has hurt you, because if you do, you teach yourself that what is not of God has power over you. The causeless cannot be. Do not attest to it. Do not foster belief in it in any mind. Remember always that mind is one and cause is one. You will learn communication with this oneness only when you learn to deny the causeless and accept the cause of God as yours. The power that God has given to his Son is his, and nothing else can his Son see or choose to look upon without imposing on himself the penalty of guilt, in place of all the happy teaching the Holy Spirit would gladly offer him. Whenever you choose to make decisions for yourself, you are thinking destructively, and the decision will be wrong. It will hurt you because of the concept of decision that led to it. It is not true that you can make decisions by yourself or for yourself alone. No thought of God's Son can be separate or isolated in its effects. Every decision is made for the whole sonship, directed in and out, and influencing a constellation larger than anything you ever dreamed of. Tom?
Just wanted to add something, maybe different imagery for this spot-it-you-got-it kind of idea. It is true that if you share a dream of suffering with your brother, you will feel yourself suffering. And when the Course says that the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself, that means that the cause of suffering is healed within my mind. And what happens when the cause of suffering is healed in my mind? Do I suddenly have rosy-colored glasses on and see everything as being hunky-dory? No. I do, however, see that all of the appearances, all of the dreams of suffering made by the sons of God are unreal. And that all the sons of God are equal to me and equally deserving of the miracle that healed my suffering, that healed the dream I once shared. So what do I do in this instance? I share the atonement. I share the correction, not by thinking I can correct my brother, but I speak to the Holy Spirit in his mind so that the Holy Spirit is heard within his mind. That is how you work miracles. And Rosy-colored glasses do not fit. Believe me, they do not fit. There is a reason why we are given miracles in this world, and we are to learn how to use these miracles in this world. So if I hear my brother say, "I am lacking," and I myself have healed the idea of lack, I am rejoicing that what my brother is saying is not the truth. I am rejoicing in seeing in him the ability and potential of accepting that same miracle. And what do I say to him? I say, "Look at me. I do not believe I am lacking. I do not believe you are truly lacking. And if a brother chooses to see it and to accept it, then that contradiction can no longer stand in his mind." When I share the thought of abundance with my brother, the thought of lack cannot remain. That doesn't mean it happens instantaneously. It can. But oftentimes, it takes a little bit of time. So, to use the you spot it, you got it idea without the experience of what it actually means and the experience of how miracles are applied and shared is foolish. And I must be spotting it because I got it. But I assure you, I have no confusion about what it means. Do I believe my brother is the Son of God, or do I believe that he is not the Son of God? Are his dreams my dreams, and are my dreams his dreams? Or do I acknowledge what is beyond the dream, and what is real within my brother and within myself?
Tom, you can look for that piece that you wrote in your book about this. I would appreciate it because you did say that you would read it, and I loved it when you read it to me. About that whole concept still of who I will become in the world, bringing yourself up, raising yourself, making, thinking about your life and your career and your life and what you need to do, looking to the world to tell you who you need to be and who you are. And that's just really key because to believe that you are not created by your father, to believe that you are a separate self that you yourself made, is to believe that you need to do something to either earn grace to get back into God's grace, which the word grace comes from gratis, which means free, and it is our right. But to believe that I am that separate self in the world that I made, thinking that I need to become something and to become something and to become something, is a very fearful thought. And it's all that makes up the ego. So at this point, I'm going to drop the mic so Tom can read that. It's a beautiful section, I'm sure you'll agree. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, before I read it though, I want to add something to what I was saying earlier. If I recognize my brother as a son of God, I will see his perfection. But does that mean I deny that my brother is temporarily in a condition where he does not recognize his own perfection? Do I deny that? because it's pretty obvious within this world. And like I say, the Holy Spirit's vision is not rosy-colored glasses. It is true perception of the condition we have found ourselves in by making a joke that nobody finds funny anymore. Okay. So I'll read this section on true authority. Okay. So, true authority, and this is, by the way, from the book Be of One Mind, which you can download for free, audiobook, PDF, whatever, or don't download it, doesn't matter. Okay, while you think you are one with the ego, you are suffering from a fundamental problem of authority. You are believing it is up to you to define yourself and to make something of yourself. You believe you are a product of the world, and so the world becomes your authority. Now you seek for your perfect place in the world. Your world tells you who you are, what you should be or do. You seek companionship from the world and demand its acknowledgement and validation. This false authority must be replaced with true authority. Child of God, you were created by God Himself. Accept no laws ahead of the laws of God. Accept no human authority in place of the will of your Creator. By listening to the voice for God, you are giving your powerful mind over to your true divine authority. When you allow the will of God to work through you become a vessel, and I stress the word vessel, for true authority in the world. What can be denied to you who has accepted the will of God? And once again, that's from the book Be of One Mind. You can visit www.beofonemind.com and download it for free, or listen to it. Thank you.
I was given this really funny image in my mind, and I was sharing this with Tom earlier, or maybe it was yesterday, of this merry-go-round of denial in which one person seems to be wrong, and another person goes to correct them, 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 and then around and around it goes. And it literally goes around and around and around and around and around and around and around the merry-go-round of denial, where nobody wants to accept responsibility for their own mind, where nobody wants to say and acknowledge and understand what the nature of projection is, that in order to perceive, you must first believe. You do not interpret what you think you see, but think you see because of what you believe. That's really the nature of it all. And then to see that, to really get that, is to really understand how useful a concept like you spot it, you got it is. I mean, most of us, we go through our life and we don't really realize what we are really thinking unless we experience it, unless we project it. It's like a ricochet game. I will think it, believe it. I can't stand that I believe it. I'll hurl it away from myself. It's projection. And then I will project it onto the world, onto God, onto my brother, and then it'll ricochet back onto me and cause me to suffer anyway, which is the whole reason why I projected in the first place, was because it was an intolerable thought. But now I get to suffer and not get to own it. Which, if I own it, I realize that's the only way I could do anything about it. You know, seek, change your mind about the world, not change the world. And so that's why you can't correct a brother, because if there's something that's bothering you about what somebody else is doing or saying or anything, the point in that is that it's bothering you. That's it. Everything else in that whole sentence can fall away. If I'm upset about anything someone else is doing or not doing, you can literally take the someone else is doing or not doing out of the equation and look at the fact that I am upset and give it to the Holy Spirit. We are never upset for the reason we think. And so while we think that somebody else needs to change for us to be okay, that is, you spot it, you got it. When we judge our brother and think there's something wrong with him or her, that is, you spot it, you got it. That's why it's really helpful. Everybody's a mirror. We think we're so clever. We think this thought and we get rid of it, but we don't get rid of it because there it is in every single experience we have until we take it back and acknowledge what we thought was true is not true and release it. And then we are so useful because then that same person can do that same thing and now we're able to come from love. And that part that I was just reading in the Teaching for Truth, there's just this one paragraph that's so powerful. Of course it all is, but on page 277, and it's number 12. Would you deny the truth of God's decision and place your pitiful appraisal of yourself in place of his calm and unswerving value of his son? I love it. I'm going to say it again. Would you deny the truth of God's decision and place your pitiful appraisal of yourself in place of his calm and unswerving value of his son? Nothing can shake God's conviction of the perfect purity of everything he created, for it is wholly pure. Do not decide against it, for being of him it must be true. Peace abides in every mind that quietly accepts the plan God set for its atonement, relinquishing its own. You know not of salvation, for you do not understand it. Make no decisions about what it is or where it lies, but ask the Holy Spirit everything and leave all decisions to his gentle counsel. That tiny mad idea that we said, what would it be like to believe that I am separate from God? And in the forgetting to laugh, believing that we actually accomplished the impossible. To realize then that we thought we made ourselves. To realize that the authority problem is the source of all of the suffering, of all of the fear. Because from that perspective of a separate self, we carry tremendous guilt for something we never did but that which we thought we did, which was separate from our source. And by not coming from our source, we seem to, just in our awareness but not in reality, disconnect from the power that is ours, from the love that is ours, from the truth of who we really are. And so since we are not connected to in our awareness of that, we cannot create. We can only make. From a lie, one can only make a lie. From truth, one can create truth. So it is the platform from which you think you stand, from who you think you are, and from who you think created you, that will dictate your experience in every single moment. The authority problem is a real problem only if you believe that you are separate from your source. Otherwise, there is no authority problem. Tom has his hand up. Thank you.
I would like to close with this statement. It all comes down to this. If God created you, then as the Course says, you are as God created you. And that means that who you are is what you are. The only thing that seems to stand in the way of this knowledge is an attempt to choose to be something different. Now, to be something other than a son of God means that you are powerless, that you are a victim, that you are small, that you are weak, that you can die, that you can be offended, that you can be insulted. And guess what? Every one of the things on the list are things we say we do not want to experience. Isn't that a funny thing? We say we don't want it, but we insist. Oh God. So praise be to God that God's will cannot change. And thank you, God, that I am as you created me. And thank you, God, that all of you are as God created you.
Thank you, Tom. We need do nothing. There is no earning of grace. Just the remembrance of who we are and not trying to be something that we're not. Let's take this time now to hold in gratitude our lessons learned, our beliefs unlearned, and their blocks released, as we listen to and follow the guidance of the one true teacher within. Let's just take this moment to embrace the truth that we are one. And let's do this in silence. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Amen. Thank you so much. So grateful. This was a wonderful 2 hours. Thanks again to everybody that joined us, and thank you, Tom and Teddy, for speaking on this topic, the authority problem, with me.